This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Howie Rose, Howie, how thrilling is it for you all these years to be doing it? I mean, think about it. You know this franchise better than anybody. 11th postseason appearance in their history. How thrilling is it for you to get to do a postseason call?
It's special. Hi, guys. It's always special because you get a different flow of adrenaline, a different feeling of, you can call it nervousness or anxiety, but, you know, it's just a unique feeling that it's almost impossible to explain. And I know fans get it too. And once you have it, it stays with you for the entirety of however long you go on the postseason. So I welcome it back.
No doubt. Howie, just take us through the ride there. Obviously, the interruption down in Atlanta, the extended travel, not knowing what's going on, you know, having to win one and then dealing with the second game and then yesterday, quick flight. I mean, that is logistically, it's got to be the biggest challenge you've ever faced as the team too, but you as a broadcaster, right?
Well, not really, only in the sense that, well, because I just go where they go, you know, just tell me where we're going, what time do I need to be on the bus, what time is the plane, and I'll be with you guys. The one who really had his hands full and really still does is Edgar Suero, who's the Mets director of team travel. And, you know, he's the guy who had to prepare for all these eventualities that we couldn't predict. So I wouldn't have wanted to be him over the last few days. But for the rest of us, we just enjoy the ride.
Did you think, Howie, this was a bad matchup going in, Mets versus Brewers, as opposed to the Padres?
Sal, my boy, you're talking to someone who remembers 1988. You could look at the Brewers and everything they've done against the Mets over the last few years, and all I remember is winning 10 out of 11 from the Dodgers in 88, and everybody saying it's going to be a cakewalk to the pennant. And then came Kirk Gibson and Oral Hershiser, and have a nice offseason. So I've learned not to take anything for granted either way. I know that there's a lot of pressure on this Milwaukee club because they're in the postseason virtually every year. This is 6 out of the last 7. And save for one trip to the National League Championship Series a few years ago, they never go anywhere. And so as much heat as you could put locally on the Brewers here, considering that this is a Packers town, and it is NFL season right now, you know, they're under some pressure here. And the Mets, they're not playing with house money. They're good. And I think I told you guys this a couple of weeks ago. It's just my opinion. But I think that any of the 12 teams that got into the postseason this year can win it all. There's no superpower. So when you're a team that's finished first as often as the Brewers have and have really nothing to show for it, you know, for the Mets, it's, hey, let those guys have the pressure. And the Mets will just go out and do what they've done all year, which is be their resilient selves.
Yeah, we said
last night.
We've said that as well. This is no superpower, which obviously places more emphasis on managing. So, you know, Mendoza hit a lot of right buttons yesterday. Winker gets the start, boom, two-run triple. Martinez pinch hit, boom, single. Vientos in the four spot, couple of hits, couple of ribbies, not pulling Seve. He's just, he's got that additional sense. His anticipation is phenomenal, and his gut has been spot on so far.
Well, I think he's done a terrific job, and we've discussed that before, too. And some moves you make, you wonder why at times, as any manager does, and then, you know, they clarify themselves. Now, I know there are a lot of people who were scratching their heads on Sunday in the game here in Milwaukee when Edwin Diaz threw 26 pitches, and they wondered why in a game the Mets were winning, I think, 5-0 at the time, why would he use Diaz? You got a doubleheader tomorrow. Well, the fact of the matter was Diaz hadn't pitched in a week, and closers can get pretty stale, so he probably ended up throwing more pitches that day than they envisioned or would have liked, and certainly he teetered on Monday in that first game, but the fact that he was able to bounce back and get it done in the ninth inning was telling as well. And he wasn't available last night. I assume he might be available tonight, but what did he throw, 66 pitches in 2 days at this time of year? That's a lot. But, you know, they say that they held him back at times all year for challenges like this. And that's, you know, kind of what Mendoza's MO has been all year. And you're right. You know, most of the buttons he's pushed have been the correct ones.
And for me, Howie, we're talking about Howie Rose. This is one of the smartest, if not the smartest, deepest Mets teams I can remember watching in my lifetime. They have a game plan going in, and then they have an answer for everything, whether it's a lefty or righty matchup, whether it's defensive replacements. Like, you look up, and they're buttoned up, they're tight, they're deep. Where do you think this team ranks as far as being smart, having a game plan, then executing that game plan with a deep roster?
Well, I think it starts with the management of the team. David Stearns and even Eduardo Brizuelo, who is his assistant, and obviously in the dugout, Carlos Mendoza. It starts there. You talk about bright and intelligent and prepared. I think this is a combination that exemplifies those traits probably better or more so than any recent Mets administration, and maybe even going further back than even the recent past. They're in great hands. And I've said this all year, from ownership on down through the front office to the manager, I think they struck gold with Carlos Mendoza. And, you know, David Stearns is not only a bright guy, we know that. He's accomplished. We see what he's built on a shoestring budget in Milwaukee. But you know what? The guy grew up a Mets fan, too. So he's invested in this in kind of a unique way. And I know that ultimately doesn't mean a whole lot, but anytime you can put just a little extra emotion behind the pragmatism and the intelligence that are innate to him to begin with, it makes for a pretty nice souffle.
Yeah, oh, very well said. That was a very nice play on words, of course. Howie Rose, BT and Sal. So the Lindor home run, let's stack it up for you. Everybody's got their opinion. Where's it rank?
Oh, it's right up there. As far as Mets regular season home runs, that's about as big as it gets. You know, people started thinking back, as I did, about just the home runs period in Mets history. And you go to Todd Pratt, which won a division series. That was a big one. And, you know, Mike Piazza's home run on September 21st of 2001 is kind of in a different category, because that was more about Americana than it was baseball. And, you know, you can go back and look at Darryl Strawberry's home run off the clock in St. Louis in 1985, or the two home runs that Ron Swoboda hit against Steve Carlton in 69, the same night that Carlton had struck out 19. But given what was on the line that day, in that moment, in this season, you can make a strong case that Francisco Lindor's home run was the biggest home run ever hit by a Met in regular season play.
Did you think it was gone right away? Because on TV, it looked like a pop-up, but I didn't think it was gone right away.
Well, the reason it looked like a pop-up, and I understand why people would think that, is because of the location that we have. Our broadcast vantage point in Atlanta is kind of high up. It's not as high, not that you guys would know this, but just to add a little color to it, for example, the broadcast booth in Washington at Nationals Park is like sitting in the upper deck at Shea Stadium. It's that high. And the broadcast booth in Atlanta, whereas it's lower than that, is still higher than most. And I think between, not that it was a particularly sunny day Monday, but maybe the angle of the sun, the field is a little less plush and green than some others, and maybe it was just a higher sky, but whatever it was, when the ball got up in the air Monday, I'm not talking about Francisco's necessarily, but just generally, when the ball got up in the air Monday, it was hard to track. And to this day, I still don't know exactly where Nimmo's home run landed. I mean, that was a shot. We're trained as broadcasters to watch the outfielder. I knew off the bat Lindor had hit it well. We count one Mississippi. We didn't even have that much time for it to register to me that, oh boy, this one, I'm not even going to say it's got a chance.
Yeah.
But I thought off the bat that it was going for a pretty good run. And again, we watched the outfielders.
Yeah.
When I saw Harris go back the way he did, that's when I realized this baby was going to be fun.
PT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Howie Rose. Where would you rank that game, Howie? The only regular season game in my lifetime that I could compare it to was the 99 Mets-Yankees Subway Series Matt Franco game, the back and forth all afternoon. First time they took 2 out of 3 from the Yanks. This was obviously different with something legitimate at stake as opposed to just city in city bragging rights. Where would you rank that game in regular season Mets history?
I think right now it's at the top of the list because of what was at stake. I mean, I don't get as caught up in the Subway Series as a lot of people do. Who knows? Maybe we'll have another one next month or later this month. But wouldn't that be great? the Matt Franco game was fun. But it was what it was. It was a game in June or July or whenever it was. And, yeah, it was against the Yankees. And I know how caught up fans are in it, but at the end of the day, it was a midseason game. It meant more to the fans in terms of desperation to win than it did the one game in the standings at that point of the year. And what I remember about that game, as much as the Matt Franco hit that won it, was Mike Piazza's home run off of Ramiro Mendoza. I happened to be, because I was doing TV with the Mets then, and that was a nationally televised game, so I wasn't working. I actually was sitting downstairs on the third base side with my wife and daughters. And when Piazza hit that home run off of Ramiro Mendoza, it made a sound off the bat that I don't know I had ever heard before. And it landed, I think, even beyond the tent, which they had constructed temporarily for promotional reasons during the Subway Series, beyond the left field bullpen. I joke that it was the first home run hit in the history of Citi Field because the ball landed about where the left field stands are now at Citi Field. So that's what I remember what everybody calls the Matt Franco game for. But to me, there's no comparison. This game put the Mets in the postseason. That game was fun game against the Yankees, but at the end of the day, big deal.
Howie, let's fast forward to tonight. Let's just say Mets 4, Brewers 3, ninth, Diaz out. What's your level of confidence in Diaz tonight?
Generally, you can tell from the first batter. And I can't predict what that's going to be, but I just hope that if that's the scenario, that he's well enough rested, because that was quite a workload Sunday and Monday. And I know that guys have a tremendous ability when they're as athletically gifted as every one of these players are to feed off the adrenaline and generally deal with the fatigue later. But as I mentioned the other day, when Diaz didn't cover first base, he can be fragile at times. And the thing that would worry me tonight is if he walks the leadoff guy, for example, because those are indications sometimes that there could be trouble brewing, pardon the unintentional pun. So I think we know, or I will get the feeling, that first hitter will be as much of an indicator of what Diaz is going to be about tonight as anything that transpires in that inning. I would love, from the Mets standpoint, I guess every Mets fan would too, to have, if not a nice breezy one tonight, then maybe one that doesn't come down to having to go to Diaz. Because if you win tonight, then they're off Thursday and Friday. And believe me, with what's been going on here recently, those 2 days would be gold.
Oh, my God. What an advantage. Do you look at not covering first base as an isolated, you know, just a little bit of a brain cramp or maybe a deeper issue that's plagued him on the mound?
No, nothing deeper. Just you know, one of those things. He said that he thought the ball was foul.
Foul. Okay.
And, you know, all right, he made a mistake. Mm-hmm. But the point is, because we've seen it often enough, that when something like that happens, sometimes the results afterwards are not great. And that's why, to me, I think my eyes have kind of learned that the first batter very often for Edwin is the indicator.
How about Sean Manaea tonight, Howie? He has been their ace, and not even just their ace. He's been an ace the majority of the second part of the season here, outside of Friday night in Milwaukee, last time he faced this Brewers team. What are your expectations for Manaea tonight?
Well, I'd like to think you can look at the last one as more the aberration than anything. He's not had great postseason success, but, you know, Frankie Montas, although he was at times could be dominant, took a lot of time on the mound on Friday night. He was very deliberate, occasionally wild. And this is a Brewers team that, although they were the second best team in the National League in terms of ERA, their best pitchers in the rotation walk a lot of batters. You know, Peralta last night, I think he was sixth in the league in walks. Montas walks a lot of hitters too. And the Mets have put together so many good at-bats lately that that's one area where if they can exploit Montas early and get to a bullpen that was used a lot last night, then that would be a huge early edge to the Mets. And just real quickly, we're talking about big at-bats and disciplined at-bats and terrific at-bats. How about the at-bat that Tyrone Taylor had against Schwellenbach to
begin
the eighth inning on Monday?
That was awesome. That was phenomenal.
You guys both go back to 1986, right? You can remember the postseason?
Yes.
I hope.
I've seen A Year to Remember a million times, even though I was 7 years old in 86, but I'm familiar with it, yes.
Well, if you remember Game 6 in 86 against the Astros, and that's what I really started to compare Monday's game to as we were going through the final stages of that game. If you remember going to the ninth inning of Game 6 of the LCS in Houston in 86, Bob Knepper had shoved it right up their butts, and they didn't sniff Knepper for eight innings. Lenny Dykstra leads off the ninth, and I don't even remember. It could have been the first pitch. It could have been the sixth. I don't remember. But Dykstra hits a triple to start the inning.
Were you covering the team at the time, Howie? What were you doing at that point?
In that game in 86, I was working for WCBS Radio.
Okay.
And I was a reporter, but I was not at that game. I was sitting in my living room, just, you know, as wrapped up in it as everybody else was. But when Dykstra hit that triple to lead off against Knepper in the ninth inning, it was as though a switch flipped. And when Taylor had the at-bat that he did on Monday and ultimately doubled, I felt the exact same sensation. Now, in 86, Knepper stayed on a little bit longer. The Mets were three runs down. They tied the game. What they did on Monday was to get Schwellenbach out of the game, go to two guys in the bullpen who have been money for the Braves, Jimenez and Iglesias, get to them both, take the lead. We know what happened after that and the back and forth, but I look at that Tyrone Taylor at bat on Monday to begin the ninth inning, the eighth inning, as one of the most memorable and important at bats in the history of the franchise.
Wow.
And I hope that doesn't get overlooked when we think back on this game, as we will for years to come.
No, we brought it up the next day, there's no doubt. A lot of Mets fans out in Milwaukee? I mean, I know that those that are there are loud. How many we have?
Some. I wouldn't say as many as we've seen in even in Milwaukee this past weekend.
Okay.
But there were a whole lot of them stacked up behind the third base dugout, the Mets dugout last night, getting ready for that final out. So there were a couple of occasions where you could hear a faint "Let's go Mets" chant. But it let me tell you this: if they win tonight, or tomorrow night, I end up going to Philadelphia. You know, the Mets and Phillies have never had a postseason series with each other.
That is amazing.
That is going to be sick.
Jeez.
I'm telling you, it is going to be sick.
I was just going to say, there'll be a lot more fans in there if they do win one of these next two games on Saturday. There'll be a lot more fans there for game one.
Yeah, if they can find their way in, you know. the Philly fans are great. They're just as passionate as Mets fans. I love it, and I hope that's what transpires.
You think that's going to be the case? We'll get one of these two? Quintana tomorrow?
I firmly believe that. I do. I really, really do.
Oh, I love hearing that. And it is Quintana, or they have not announced that yet, Howie, for game three?
They haven't announced it yet, but consider a couple of things. Number one, the Brewers, and remember, the Mets threw three lefties at them last weekend. The third, it didn't matter. But, you know, they went with lefties Friday and Saturday against the Brewers, and Milwaukee won both games. But during the regular season, leading into that series, I believe, the Brewers were one game over 500 against left-handed starters, and they won 93 games. So they were decidedly better against right-handed starters. Mm. The choice would come down to, you know, realistically, Quintana or what? Peterson. On one less day?
Right.
Think back to how important it was for so many reasons to have won that first game in Milwaukee on Monday. It enabled them to set their rotation to where they can get these three guys on full rest. Because if they had to use Severino in game two on Monday, well, then last night conceivably would have been a bullpen game. And you wouldn't have had any of your starting pitchers in this series on regular rest. So I think just the fact that you can get to tonight, well, I guess Manaea might well have been used on 3 days rest also last night, just looking at what the possibilities were, right? But to have won that first game Monday and get their rotation set with Severino, Manaea, and yeah, if they use him tomorrow night, Quintana, all on full rest, lefties against the left-handed starters, against a team that struggles against left-handed starters, I think the Mets are in a great position here. I really do.
Thank you, Howie. We appreciate it. As always, enjoy the ball game tonight.
All right, guys. See you soon.
Thanks, Hal.
Yeah, hopefully next week. I mean, either way, we can maybe have Howie on just to, if the Mets aren't playing, wrap up the season. But as Howie said, he expects it. And I kind of feel the same way. Like, who the hell knows? But how can you not after last night? I expect the Mets to be heading to Philadelphia.
I do, too.
On Saturday.
I don't know if it's in two or three, but it's... They're moving.
They're in a good spot right now after a terrific performance yesterday. All right, Howie's appearance was brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. More of BT and Sal when we come back.
Carlos Rodon, no real surprise given the splits. He's much better at home. He has been named the Game 2 starter, so it's going to be Cole and Rodon 1-2. But obviously, the Yankees a couple of days away. Tickets coming up next few days here on The Fan. All right, so...
You want to really try to win tickets for Game 1 so you get to see Garrett Cole as opposed to Game 2 game Monday two. Night. Oh, hey, God. That's going to be a hot ticket. We can't even get tickets around here. It's tough to come by.
Did you try?
I did not ask. No, I figured, usually they'll come to us if there's something left over. Did you try?
I threw a little line in the water.
And?
I have not gotten a response yet. I'm going to have to...
Well, we did ask, like, the other day. We were talking to Hurley a little bit.
In here. Hold on, Sal.
Didn't seem like it was...
Let's see. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do a little copy and paste on the message that I sent yesterday, and I'm going to send it again. So there's the paste, and there's the boom. Let's see what we get.
I think this is a good thing, actually, BT, because remember, last time they were in the postseason, you were saying, like, I wasn't here on the midday show at the time, but tickets were available. I know you went out there.
Went out to the Astros game.
But would you say the feel...
It was awful. Right. It didn't have any juice, man. And you were saying the same thing at City.
Correct, and I think it's different.
I do, too.
I actually bought tickets... At I work at SNY, so they give you the opportunity to buy playoff strip.
Okay.
Which probably we could have done that here. Like, for years, Mike and Chris used to do that, too. So for the Mets, I'm like, do I want to do it? And I'm like, yes, I do. Because ultimately, like, if they do, this is weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they do make it back to the DS and you want the games at home, or God forbid, Subway Series, Mets, Yankees. So I will have two Mets tickets to every home game. The Yankees, it's a tough ticket, but that's a good thing. I think that this is going to be a different feel for both the Mets and Yankees than what we experienced in 2022.
I mean, the way the Mets are playing now, and then, you know, how we just talked about, again, let's get past the Brewers before you worry about the Phillies, but I mean, that would be all sorts of nuts. And then even the Brewers stuff here, I wanted to ask you about the Winker Adames stuff. Like, I love that. I think that it just shows, you know, Winker's no nonsense, and he hasn't really contributed much with the bat, so anytime he can inject some energy in there, and when he hit the triple, by the way, he was so out in front of that pitch, he hit that with one hand. I mean, that was a really nice piece of hit, and he cruises it to third base, but He touched on this post game, but he basically said there's no way that I could run and basically talk smack at the same time. I didn't think there was much history between Winker and Adames. Apparently, maybe there was a little bit, but whatever. The spark, just not the spark for the Mets. I like this stuff.
It seems like there's history with Winker and the Brewers, his former team, the crowd booing him. He got hit the other day. I didn't realize that when the Mets played them over the weekend in a spot where it may have been obvious where they hit him on the hip. I was reading about it. I don't remember watching that. We're thinking like, oh, wow, they drilled him on purpose.
Yep.
But clearly, the Brewers, whether it's Adames or somebody else on the team, are bothered by Winker's antics.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought is, I'm glad he's on our team. Because the Met fans know what it's like to hate Jesse Winker and boo him. Hey, he was the villain for the Met fans. Now he's one of us. So now he's the villain in Milwaukee, and it feels good to have that guy. Although I will say the second thought was, do not tick off Willie Adames. That's one guy who I would not want to mess with. I love Adames. He's a terrific player.
I heard you say that you want him more than Soto.
I do.
Did you actually say that?
Well, I did say that.
I don't know if he was serious.
Yeah,
you did say that, right?
He's not going to get as much money. There are a lot of factors to go into it, but Willie Adames, to
me, ball player, man.
Yeah, he's the epitome of a winning player. Oh, and by the way, he's got the numbers to back it up. Like, envision a scenario where the Mets sign Adames, put him at third, move Vientos to first. Mm. That's a better team than what they have right now.
Soto with DH.
No, you say,
I love this stuff, though. And, you know, we'll get back to these calls here. But now you have the Hoskins stuff, which obviously flared up on opening day. That was absolutely bonkers. Well, what is that? What are we getting here?
Oh, yeah. Zuck looks like he's going to have
Is this the quick response to the Yankee tickets?
BT flexing his muscle. Maybe you're going to find a way in there. How about that?
What's going on?
We got two or four.
Thumbs down. We need a couple.
We'll figure that out.
That was a quick response, though.
But you can win tickets. Listen to the station. Oh,
yes.
We got good pairs.
And not just on our show, but obviously Boomer and Geo, Evan and Tiki. It is October time, baby. It's going to be awesome.
Hottest ticket in town. Larry's in Deer Park. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Larry.
What's up, boys?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
What's happening, buddy?
Listen. Game one was a tone setter for us. I mean, a lot of people were a bad matchup for us, but the way we came out and fought, we got to end it tonight. Manaea on Friday night, I think he got hosed by the umpire. I think he'll be better. Give us six. Bullpen is fresh. Let's go get it.
Yeah, there you go, Larry, and thank you for the call. Look, who knows how it's going to play out, but I don't think, you know, as the way we felt yesterday going into that game, it was like, oh, man, this is a tough challenge. Now watch, tonight it feels like, yeah, you can't be set up any better. You won last night, all the pressure's off. You got your best pitcher going. You get the bullpen fresh, all the best arms in the bullpen fresh, yeah, and watch maybe a different result. But right now, BT, I think from a Mets perspective, this is as excited and as confident as you can be going into game two of a best of three series.
I can't disagree. I mean, you got your ace going, your bullpen's fresh, and, you know, you're beating the Brewers at their game, you know, so far in a very small sample, at least, you know, yesterday. You know, but it very well could be 7-1 Mets.
It's on Manaea tonight, though. If he doesn't have it, then they're in trouble.
Well, then you might get a slugfest. You tell me the Mets aren't going to hit Aaron Montas? I think they're going to knock him around. I think you guys are going to score tonight.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me 6-4, 7-4, 6-5. But either way, like, and again, I don't, nobody knows what's going to happen tonight, but the probable script is that it's not easy for the Mets tonight because nothing for the Mets has been easy. And then you get to a third game and it's probably uncomfortable. Yeah. Then the Mets somehow find a way to do it.
Right.
That's been the Mets.
That would follow script. If I were to ask you yesterday the keys to how they're going to win the game, would you think.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Would you think that they would win a high scoring game? Because I wouldn't. Like, going in, I'd be like, well, Severino needs to keep them off base, keep them at bay. I did not expect the Mets to score 8 runs.
No, I didn't expect that either. You know, and again, this is a small thing where it gets lost in the details of the game. So many things happen, but I thought it was again, I don't want to overstate this, Sal. It was the first batter of the game. I thought it was fairly ominous when Vientos didn't make that play at third base on the line drive that turned into a double. That very easily could have been an error. He just misread
the... It was an error. He should have made that play. You got to make that play.
And I'm like, ooh, okay, so now all of a sudden there's this distress that's on not just Severino, but the Mets defense, and this is what the Brewers do. They run wild, and it's like the first batter, like the place is popping. And you know, they gave up the 2 runs, but as the Mets always do, they came back with the 3. And then when the Brewers scored a couple more in the 4th, the Mets come back with 5.
Severino got shutdown innings when he needed the shutdown innings. It was just a perfect game. But just the formula going in for me would have been keep it a low-scoring game. That would favor the Mets, even with the depleted bullpen. But the fact that they scored 8 runs and, like you said, came from behind twice, that was encouraging. Larry is calling from upstate New York. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. 2 quick things. The Mets, you can only play who's on your schedule, whether they're playing the Brewers or the Savannah Bananas. And secondly, since they got the best record in baseball since June, the momentum, it's like a snowball. You just ride their momentum as long and as far as you can, and that's what they're doing.
It is a really tough thing to explain, Sal. I know that we get paid to, but it's improbable.
Well, I mean, when you see the way that they're doing it, it shows you why I value chemistry in teams more so than talent. Now, look at the Knicks, a prime example. You get to a certain point where the chemistry and good guys can take you so far. Then you have to make the decision, okay, are we going to break this up and go for the talent and risk altering that chemistry?
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks got to that point saying, you know what? All right, we know we got to give up DiVincenzo, move on from Randall, but we're getting what we think is a better player who will fit in and hope to take us over the top. With the Mets, they're at the point now where we're going to find out how far this chemistry can take them. And maybe it doesn't take them all the way. And then in the offseason, they say, okay, well, we need to add this or that. And then really try to combine this chemistry with the talent to build a World Series team. Or maybe this team with some talent, with chemistry, with depth, can go all the way. Who the hell knows?
Can I tell you that, you know, we overuse it, and I think too often we misuse it, the word culture. I think it's a little tough to identify culture in baseball because, again, use the word chemistry. You know, you don't really need chemistry in baseball because it's really a series of one-on-one occurrences. You know, I'm in the box, I'm on the mound, balls hit to me. I'm really not dependent on too much around me. In baseball, whereas with football, you know, if Breece Hall has no holes, Breece Hall is going to run for 9 yards and he's going to look terrible like he did the other day. I think, though, with the culture that the Mets have, it does give them a chance to win. To just keep winning here, Sal, because they are not relying on a 3-run homer. They're relying on grinding, catching the ball,
hustling
and passing the baton. and, you know, playing a little bit of small ball, but also, you know, hitting the ball enough where those doubles in the gap and Vientos doing his thing. Like, I just think that it's a very dangerous. I would not want to play the Mets right now. They're a dangerous team.
They play hard and they play smart baseball. They're a well-run organization. Now, again, you got to go out there and execute. Not everybody's going to execute perfectly every single night. They weren't even perfect last night, but they did more than enough to get it done. I think that element, that chemistry, that culture is something that really can be a difference maker. You've seen it with the Mets this year. And by the way, it's something that the Jets don't have. That's a problem. Like, the Jets on paper look great.
Yep.
When you watch them play, it's just not there. And then you're hearing the Garrett Wilson stuff or the Saleh and Rogers stuff. Like, it's the exact opposite.
It is the opposite. Think about the preseason. Not that this means much, but it's a conversation point. Think about the preseason rankings. You know, Jets number 6, Jets number 8, Jets number 5, top 10 offense, top 10 defense. And then now flip that and think about where the Mets were by most. You know, not that they were thought to be the White Sox coming in on paper, but nobody really thought the Mets would be a power this year, and it's completely flipped. The Mets have chemistry, the Mets are buttoned up, the Jets are sloppy, and the Jets are a mess right now.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
All right, BT, as we do every Wednesday, 11:40, a little 3RQ. Number one, I may have asked you this before, but it's pertinent today. How superstitious are you?
I'm not incredibly superstitious. There are, you know, a couple things. I did try to avoid stepping on the white line playing baseball.
Okay.
I wound up having an awful season. You ever get those chain letters? Those stupid chain letters? Like, if you don't pass it on to, I don't know,
no,
X
don't
amount
that.
Of people, and you're going to be hit with bad luck. Anyway.
Okay, yeah.
So I guess it's my second year in college, and somebody transfers in on the baseball team. And he hits us all with this stupid chain letter. And I ignored it. And, of course, I get off to like a 3-for-20 start. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm playing terribly. So now I'm like, now I gotta get it to everybody. And he told me, he's like, well, the only way that you can now undo the bad is to put a penny. Listen to how this is ridiculous.
Right,
a penny in your jock strap. I wore a penny in my cup all year, and guess what? Nothing changed anyway. So I'm not incredibly superstitious. Are you?
Two things I'm going to give you real quick that made me want to ask you this today. Number one, and this has been going on for weeks, since we had the new entrance in the building.
Yes.
For some reason, I can't bring myself to enter through a different turnstile. Every day, I'm like, should I go through? And I'm like, no, just keep it to this.
Really?
Yeah, I go through the same turnstile.
Do you ever start at one and then like, I got to go this way and change things up?
I mean, there's enough daylight there where I can know where I want to go, but I just, like today I was like, let's just go in the different one, and I couldn't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
that's
the other thing I've been doing, since Monday, I've worn the same socks, the same jeans, the same belt.
No.
Yeah, well, look at the socks.
Mr. Matt, okay.
And look at this belt. I don't know if I've showed this before.
Look at this guy.
See this belt?
Is that a baseball card belt?
Yeah, somebody sent me a baseball. I wish I knew the site. They sent it over to SNY. Otherwise, I'd promote the site. But it's baseball card belts.
Okay.
It's got all the different. Actually, I could just take it off and show it to you. It's not a big deal. But it's got all these baseball cards on it. And I requested one with all the mess. Look at all. Look at
this. This is dope. Look at this guy. You got to take a picture of this. Put it on social media. Look at this. Rick Aguilera, the first one
This
is the 86 team.
Right. So, well,
Darryl,
some of them.
Kevin Mitchell.
There's like 80. There's 89 tops
Keith,
on there.
Mookie.
So he makes. The site has them. Anyway, so I wore this Monday for good luck.
Oh, my God.
They won.
Okay.
I wore it yesterday.
Yep.
They won. I wore it again today. Now, tomorrow I will be wearing something different because either way it's going to be either no game or a loss. But I figured out.
I like it. I'll keep doing it. I like it. It's working so far. It's good.
Number two, what's an acceptable amount of time needed to invite somebody to a game? Like, where do you draw the line when you're like, I just might as well go by myself?
Meaning you have tickets and you want to give them ample time heads up, you mean?
Yes. I got tickets to the Red Bulls game over the past weekend.
Okay. A very, very nice facility.
I'd never been before.
It
was my first soccer match, and I went. Sammy Steinlein at Red Bulls. They partnered with WFA, and they are great. I actually loved it.
Yeah.
But like my wife couldn't go. We couldn't get a babysitter. I was asking a bunch of people from the station.
Okay.
Nobody could go. It got to a point where I was like,
you go by yourself?
I did.
Wow.
I did. But what, so like, because there was a cutoff for me. I was asking same day.
I think it depends if you're asking people who are married without, you know, with or without kids. If you're single, I mean, give me an hour heads up. I'll meet you there. You know, shoot them on my phone and Apple Wallet. We're good to go. I got the first couple rounds. I think if there's like legitimate family commitments, you know, you want to stretch this out a day or two. And also, let's call it the way it is. It also depends on how much juice the husband has. You know, a lot of husbands, they got to beg to do stuff. And if you're of that mindset, you probably need a week.
It's a Saturday night, so I knew it was tough.
What time was the kick? 6 or 8?
7:30-ish, maybe.
All right, that's firmly in the middle of dinner plans and
I tried early
plans.
In the day, and then once I was like, all right, forget it. I'm just going to go on my own here. By the way, I get there, and I'm talking to somebody online. He's like, oh, hey, fan of the show, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is my first soccer match. And another guy online goes, it's football. And I'm like, nah, football's tomorrow. He's like, yeah, but that's American football. I'm like,
God, what a snob.
Well, where are we? I mean, yeah, it's American football. Where are we? I mean, I'm trying to do the right thing. I didn't call it a soccer game. Yeah, I called it a soccer match.
And don't go to soccer field. They might hang you. It's a soccer pitch.
You've been there with Colt? It's really fun.
I haven't been there with the fan. I actually did a show there once back in the day, and Donnie Walsh came on.
Really?
Yeah, a million years ago through Sammy, and
they were
beautiful stadium.
They were playing NYCFC, so it was a New York, you know, NYCFC ended up kicking their rear end.
Good crowd.
You know what I saw there?
Oh.
Frank, it was a very good crowd. Frank Isola.
He loves his soccer, Frank.
Frank and his wife. I ended up talking to him the whole time. So it was fun. Anyway, last one for you. And this is because I've been watching the Menendez Brothers show. Have you seen this one?
I have not seen this. I know all about it, though.
Would you rather the death penalty or life in jail without parole?
God, just cock me out forever. Dude, how do you sit in a cell forever and not... No, just inject me with whatever and just end it. How about you? There's no way you're going to sit in a cell.
No, but like... So then you're watching the show and they make it like... It was a win for them not to be given the death penalty.
No, that's a loss.
In my mind, it is. Like, I would just be saying just...
End
like,
it.
I guess they're hoping against hope that there's going to be some way out, but...
That is true. Well, that you know what? That's a good point, but... I mean, listen, let's face it, going to hell no matter what. So just let's expedite things here and let's keep it moving. Because to sit in, what are you going to do, push-ups all day? You get roaches crawling on you? What are you going to do?
I mean,
there's no way.
The thought of having to spend life in prison
isolation.
Without parole.
Oh, God. No.
Just kill me.
No, kill me too.
Give me the death penalty. Inject me.
Yes. Yes.
I'm with you on that.
That's
an
easy one.
But I was surprised that I would think so. Hoff, what would you do in that spot?
You want to live in jail? You want all those days by yourself? Count the days.
Life in jail without parole, the death penalty.
Death penalty sounds fun. How am I going?
Well, I mean, whatever. Injection. They strap you. They strap you up in a chair.
I don't know if I want to get zapped. I mean, that's a little tough, getting zapped.
Oh, you want just like the... Yeah.
I wouldn't want that.
Dove, you have a preference?
Do I have access to books?
Yes.
You have
a toilet bowl, you have a mattress, you have crappy food, and you have books. Which one?
And you have malaria in the corner of the
and wait, you can work out and get in great shape.
Yes.
For what? What's the reason?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly.
But if I have books, give me 120 years.
Ugh. What are you going to do? What are you going to talk to about the books?
I mean, that does make sense.
No.
I'll admit, mentally, I do not have the capacity to sit in jail.
No. Now you give me Netflix, I'll hang out for 30 years and watch WWE all day, but no way,
all right,
dude.
PT and Sal on the fail. Let's get back to the phones. Marty is calling from Princeton, New Jersey. Marty?
Hey, Marty.
Hey, how are you doing, Sound and PT?
What's up, Marty?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I just want to talk a little bit about Sean Manaea. You know, I followed the A's for 40 years, and lately it's like they have a fire sale every year. Well, 2 years ago they had one, and the Yankees picked up Frankie Montas. We know how that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sean scuffled for a little bit, but he's so happy when he got signed by the Mets. And you look at his career, he's over 500 win percentage. You look at, like, the games he started where the team actually wins, and it's like 66%. And that's all borne out here at the Mets. And I'm so happy for his resurgence here and what he means to the Mets. And, you know, he was a number one pick for the A's out of Indiana State, and his heritage is Samoan. So I'm calling him the Prince of Samoa, and he can go right along with King Cohen.
Huh. Yeah, you got a lot of royalty all of a sudden out there at Queen Sal.
Thank you for the call, Mark.
Sean Manaea is good. He was always good. I was always intrigued by Sean Manaea.
I like the signing. I remember having that conversation when we were switching, you know, we were leaving the air and handed over to Evan and Tiki. And I was like, I like the signing of Sean Manaea. Now, did I think he was going to be this good? No, but Manaea was, when he first came up with Oakland,
yep,
was looked at as a good young pitcher.
And he, to me, he was the more desirable of the two. Like, I wanted him more than I wanted Frankie Montas from a Yankee perspective.
Right. And think about this.
And Stearns obviously thought more favorably, too. Forget about Montas.
Forgot about that interesting matchup then tonight between those two.
I know, that Manaea is crazy. You need Barry Zito to jump out of the pen, get it the full thing.
You see,
here,
he sang the anthem, or Mulder. He sang the anthem at the final game of the Coliseum, I believe, Barry Zito.
I didn't see that.
I heard them playing
on
the morning show, yeah.
Did you see some of the footage there? Like, it was sad.
I didn't. Somebody told me yesterday they pre-taped the post-game show, like the day before.
Why? You mean their version of SNY?
Yes. Pre-taped the post-game show, so they're like, hey, we know it's the final game, but this was pre-taped. They didn't even do the actual live results.
That's gross.
How apathetic is that?
That's absolutely
awful. I didn't see that. It's sad to me to have that move.
It is sad. It is sad. But they, you know, to me, Manaea and Stearns's, you know, foresight. Remember, most of these guys got a one-year deal. Harrison Bader got a one-year deal. Severino got a one-year deal. Manaea got two. Now, he can obviously opt out.
Yeah.
There's wiggle room for him to flex his leverage. But, you know, we talk about the astute moves by Stearns. It was even more astute because he saw him as more than just Severino.
Hector is calling from Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Heck.
Listen, I got to say, Sal, you got to know who you're inviting also. You know, BT's talking about married, not married, the wife, flexibility. You also got to know when you're going to invite someone in a pivotal run for the Mets. You can't invite a Mets fan.
Yeah, I invited Hector. Hector was one of the guys. I was like, all right, Hector's game for last-minute stuff.
And
he said no. I was like, it's a sweet rental game.
Oh, you were in the suite?
Free food
and
drink?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, listen, I had to really think about it. And then as the game went on Saturday, I was like, man, I should have just went with Sal. Because that was a terrible...
You missed out, bro. You chose poorly.
Yeah, I did. But guys, if you would allow me, man, I want to take this phone call in this moment to shout out somebody. And you may remember Sal, because when we did the space on our X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, you spoke to him. And it was a gentleman, a big Mets fan, who's no longer with us, passed away last month. And this guy, listen, I have an easiness. I told Hoff, I have an easiness about this Mets run right now, and I feel confident. And I can't explain much why, but a lot of it has to do with this guy who back in February and in March kept telling his guys, I feel good about this team. This team is going to win. He would start setting 87 games. And then he changed it to 89 games. And he would say, you guys are wrestling fans. I think L.A. Knight or something like that would say something like, yeah, or whatever. He would say 89 wins, yeah. And he would always say, guys, I have this belief. This team is better than whatever people are saying. This team is going to be good, and it's going to make a wild card. And as we get to the end of the season there, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, wait, it's going to be 89 games this team is going to win, and they're going to make a wild card. And here we are. This team is in the wild card with 89 wins. And my guy Elliot told us the whole time.
And they're peaking at the right time. That's they're peaking.
Absolutely.
They didn't just backdoor and like, oh, Mets are here, and you know this would be a quick stay. I mean, they've been terrific. And you know, if you thought the Mets could win 89, listen, there were not a ton, although there were some, Sal, but there were not a ton of people running around saying the Mets are going to win 89, 90 games going into the year.
Mm.
There weren't many. You thought they could be mid-80s, maybe get a wild card.
But remember, that was best case 85.
Yeah, and I wasn't even there.
Right.
So, I mean, I give you credit. You thought that they'd be better than I did. But there's nobody, even those who thought, like the most optimistic Met fan who thought maybe 85, 88, 89, 90. Everybody was factoring 40-something bombs from Pete.
Yeah,
like
right.
A massive walk season. And
McNeil bounce back.
A bounce back from him and a better star from Lindor. You know, maybe a little bit more from Bader. Maybe a little something from Beatty. Didn't know what to expect from Vientos. I mean, more from Alvarez. That's the craziest thing about the Mets season. Not that they're here, but how they've gotten here.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's an excellent point, especially down the stretch where it's been the starting pitching that was carrying. Nimmo's hitting 220. You mentioned Alonso hasn't had the impact that you expected him to have. McNeil's a non-factor. It's been the starting pitching, the thing that we all questioned that they didn't have enough, especially after losing Kodai Senga. All right, when we come back, we'll reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day. It's a two for today. We got the Mets and, of course, the latest with Devontae Adams. BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.